Hello, and welcome to another splendid episode of the ABCs of Rock podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I move on to the next letter in the alphabet, and I pick a new band or musician going in alphabetical order, no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast. And I ask for you to go out and purchase their music or legally stream it. The musicians need your support, and I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about these bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. Well, it is time for another edition of Emptying the Vault, something I do every other week on the podcast, where instead of highlighting one particular band and musician, I stick with the same letter for one extra week and go through my very deep library of music and curate some deep cuts from the bands that I probably wouldn't have had a chance to play on the regular show. These episodes are a lot of fun because, as a listener, it is what I call a smorgasbord of rock and roll. Last week, our show featured the band The Talking Heads, which represented the letter T on our journey through the alphabet. So we're going to stick around with the letter T for one more week, and I'm going to dig deep into my archive of music and play some deep cuts from bands and artists that also begin with the letter T. I cannot wait to get started because the artists I've lined up couldn't be more eclectic and a wider representation of my diverse tastes of rock and roll. Anyways, let's get to the music. The band Them were an Irish rock band formed in the mid-1960s. The original founding members of Ronnie Milling, Billy Harrison, Eric Rickson, Alan Henderson, and of course Van Morrison were steeped deep within the genre of garage and blues rock. They'll forever be associated with the act that launched Van Morrison's career in the hit songs Gloria, Baby Please Don't Go, and Here Comes the Night. One of their lesser-known hits, though, is one of my all-time favorites of theirs, and I think it should be appreciated on the level of the songs I just mentioned. Let's listen to the stellar recording of Mystic Eyes, written by Van Morrison off their debut 1965 album, The Angry Young Them.
Mystic eyes.
Tito and Tarantula is definitely not a household name. I first discovered this band because their music was heavily used on movie soundtracks for the films of one of my favorite directors of the 1990s, Robert Rodriguez. The Los Angeles-based rock band was formed in 1992 by band leader Tito LaRiva, who would commonly have a cameo role in those films. However, their early records are a lot of fun and wonderfully produced, especially their debut, which actually credits Robert Rodriguez as a co-producer. It's chock full of songs with catchy hooks with fuzzy guitars. A must-own for sure. So off of that debut album, which is titled Tarantism, which came out in 1997, is a truly great song, which is also found on the From Dusk Till Dawn soundtrack. This is After Dark. When Faith No More disbanded in the late 1990s, to put it mildly, I was heartbroken. Maybe I was one of the few that felt this way, but I loved the album of the year. I honestly thought it was amazing, and I was so thirsty for more. I remember they came through Providence, Rhode Island in 1997, and I wanted to see them at the small club, The Strand. love seeing shows there back then. I never made it to that show, and they wouldn't tour again for like 12 years. And still, I keep missing them one of these days. Okay, I'm completely off track because I'm not playing a Faith No More song. Lead singer Mike Patton, a couple years later, formed a new band with Jesus Lizard guitarist Dwayne Dennison, Helmet drummer John Stainer, and Melvins bassist Kevin Rootmanis to form supergroup Tomahawk in 1999. Now, I'll admit, this band must have flown so far under the radar because they released four albums through the first decade of the century, and I didn't even know about it. But man, they are fascinating releases. They definitely pull in from Patton's experimentations with Faith No More, so I feel like it's a natural progression of the band. But it does have a more avant-garde prog rock aspect to it, so it isn't for everyone. So from the 2001 self-titled album Tomahawk, here is one of my favorite tracks from the album, 101 North.
Let's go! Hey!
Trapeze were a British hard rock band formed in 1969. They put out some very solid albums through the 1970s. Of course, one of the reasons Trapeze is even in the music consciousness is because one of the founding members is bassist Glenn Hughes. I'm actually a little picky about their catalog of music, but for me, it never got any better than their 1974 fourth studio album, Hot Wire. The first to feature bassist Pete Wright after Glenn Hughes departed for the band Deep Purple. The entire album has a very polished sound, and if you're into pure guitar rock, then this is the album to start with, I say. So from Hot Wire, let's listen to one of my favorite tracks. This is Backstreet Love.
Yeah.
staying with the theme of hard rock and metal for another band here. Tigers of Pantang are a British heavy metal band formed in 1978. They were pioneers of the new wave of British heavy metal alongside more commercially successful bands like Def Leppard, Iron Maiden, Motorhead, plenty more I could name. The first couple albums are raw, underproduced, anxiety-driven glam metal that you either love or hate. But if you love that stuff, it's absolute gold. This is the era I enjoy most from them. However, if you like the sounds of, say, Whitesnake's 1987 album or Def Leppard's Hysteria, go ahead and check out their 1987 Burning in the Shade album. Need to point out something that I know must be coincidence, but I noticed this not that long ago. There seems to be an odd connection between the album names between Tigers of Pantang and the band Kiss. In 1981, Tigers put out the album Crazy Nights, 6 years before Kiss put out their album Crazy Nights in 1987. In 1987, Tigers put out the album Burning in the Shade, 2 years before Kiss puts out the album Hot in the Shade in 1989. I don't know. It's just kind of odd. But for today's show, I'm taking it back to the debut album from 1980's Spellbound. This is Blackjack. The halfway point in the show, which is a great time to mention that the ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Please don't hesitate to share with me your feedback of the show. I really love to hear from listeners. You can always email me at abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. I can also be found on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. So give it a follow or reach out to me and let me know you're out there listening. Also, if you have a chance, please take a moment and rate and review the show on your preferred podcast app. It may seem insignificant, but every single rating and review adds up and helps this podcast find a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. All right, time for the back five of the show. And these artists coming up couldn't be any more different from each other. Experimental indie rock band They Might Be Giants were formed in Brooklyn, New York in 1982. I actually had never heard of this band until I became really great friends with this girl in college. And I swear, this was, if not her favorite band, one of her favorite bands of all time. For a while, I dismissed them as a band that sounded like they catered playing just children's music. Over time, though, this band really grew on me, and I've now been listening to them for about 25 years. Even seen them in concert a few times. It's always a fun show. I've sort of fallen off the map with them in recent years. Looking at the discography, it's quite intimidating. They're now putting out sometimes two or three albums a year. Not quite Buckethead territory, but definitely have found a formula that is allowing them to churn out these albums rapidly for what I can only imagine with very little overhead cost. But the real heyday was the late 80s and 90s when their brand of quirky and comical lyrics accompanied by songs featuring accordion solos penetrated especially college radio airwaves. Let's go back to 1990 and there for what it was, an immensely successful record titled Flood. This is Lucky Ball and Chain.
I lost my lucky ball. Confidentially, I never told you of her charms. Confidentially, we never had a home. But this railroad apartment was the perfect place when she'd sit and hold me in her arms. I lost my lucky ball and chain. Now she's 4 years gone. She's 5 feet tall and sick of me and all my rattling on. She walked away from a happy man. So cool. I just stood there whistling. There goes the bride as she walked out the door. There goes the bride as she walked out the door. There goes the bride as she walked out the door.
Typo Negative. Yes, everyone, we're switching gears from They Might Be Giants to Typo Negative, only on the ABCs of Rock. Typo Negative is another Brooklyn-based band. Must have been from a different neighborhood, though. The gothic metal pioneers were formed in 1989 and for about 20 years were the premier band in that genre. The cornerstone of their sound was, of course, frontman, principal songwriter, and bassist Peter Steele, whose deep bass vocals became a signature sound of the gothic and doom metal scene of the 90s. Not to mention his towering 6'8" stature was quite an intimidating presence as well. Sadly, Peter died in 2010 at the age of 48 from sepsis caused by diverticulitis. What he leaves behind, though, are seven beautifully arranged and composed albums. There is nothing else quite like Typo Negative. Off of their 2003 album, Life is Killing Me, this is Nettie.
We'll be right back.
The Trogs were a British proto-punk garage band formed in 1964. So one or two of you may be asking, what is proto-punk? And I will turn to the definition found on eccentriconline.com. Proto-punk was never a cohesive movement, nor was there a readily identifiable proto-punk sound that made its artists seem related at the time. What ties proto-punk together is a certain provocative sensibility that didn't fit the prevailing countercultural of the time. It was consciously subversive and fully aware of its outsider status. In terms of its lasting influence, much proto-punk was primitive and stripped down, even when it wasn't aggressive, and its production was usually just as unpolished. It also frequently dealt with taboo subject matter, depicting society's grimy underbelly in great detail, inventing alienation that was more intense and personal than ever before. I really love that definition, and I think that pegs the Trogs to a T, especially when we consider that this is the band that is most famous for the song Wild Thing. Of course, everyone knows that song, Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing. But if you give the rest of their catalog half a chance, there is so much really cool and edgy material in there. Going to give you a prime example of this by playing this awesome track from the 1968 album Cellophane. This is Somewhere My Girl Is Waiting.
When I met you today, I never dreamed in a million years I'd be making love to you. I shouldn't even be here.
Them Crooked Vultures was a supergroup which features Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, among a dozen other bands, on lead vocals and lead guitar, Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters on drums, and no kidding, John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin on bass and keyboards. What resulted was an incredible self-titled one-off hard rock album in 2009, which incorporated the best characteristics of each of these music legends. There have been interviews from, I think, late 2018 from Dave Grohl and John Paul Jones that have alluded to a follow-up album and tour in the works. I remember them coming through Boston in 2009, and like a chump, I missed that once-in-a-lifetime show. Crossing my fingers that this does happen again. I had the pick of the litter selecting a song from this album because they're all great and they're all, for the most part, relatively unknown to the mainstream. So here is one of my favorites and also one of my all-time favorite song titles. This is Warsaw, or The First Breath You Take After You Give Up.
Come to afford to lose my head.
So if you've come this far, I thank you for joining me for another episode of the ABCs of Rock. There is nearly no greater joy in life that I have than to assemble these podcasts for you, the listener. Receiving feedback from you is my catnip. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me and share with me your feedback. Once again, I can be reached via email at abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. So hit me up. Even better, leave a rating or review on your preferred podcast app. So let's wrap up the show with one last song. And in a way, we close out the letter T sort of in the way we started it. If you subscribe to the podcast, you probably listened to last week's episode featuring the Talking Heads. After their 1980 release, Remain in Light, David Byrne released a couple of albums outside of the band. One was part of a soundtrack, and the other was a collaboration with Brian Eno. However, at the same time, the rest of the Talking Heads weren't just sitting around and waiting for David to walk back into their lives. Two of the other members of the band, bassist Tina Weymouth and drummer Chris France, were also married at the time and also took the time to form a new band, Tom Tom Club, in 1981. Their music is definitely less avant-garde than David Byrne's fronted Talking Heads, and it has a more straightforward dance pop vibe to it. One thing I do have to give them credit for is that they have strived desperately to distinguish themselves from their tenure with the Talking Heads, pretty much to the point that they rarely ever play any of those songs in concert. The only exception is that they typically end each show with their version of Psycho Killer. But I gotta respect their insistence of sticking pretty much solely to their own catalog. So, from their 1988 third studio album, Boom Boom Chaboom, let's play out the show with a lovely song. This is Shock the World. Have a great week, everyone.
Spirits fly, fingers turn.